بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, yesterday somebody sent me a quote by James Gustav Speth, who's also called Gus Speth, who among many other things, he was a lawyer, and among many other things, he was a Rhodes Scholar, graduated from Yale Law School, and so on, and he was a clerk to the US Supreme Court, and he was the principal advisor to the President of America on environment. Not this president, the presidents who were interested in the environment. Now, his quote is very interesting. What he said is, he said, "I used to think that the top environmental problems were biodiversity loss, ecosystem collapse, and climate change." He said, "I used to think that the top environmental problems were biodiversity loss, ecosystem collapse, and climate change. I thought that with 30 years of good science, we could address those problems. But I was wrong. The top environmental problems are selfishness, greed, and apathy." He says the top environmental problems are selfishness, greed, and apathy. And to deal with those, we need a spiritual and cultural transformation. And we scientists don't know how to do that. Now, this is a very honest statement by a very honest human being. People generally are not dishonest. The reason I am saying this is because today, with every good thing, something else comes as baggage. And the good thing is that there is a focus on education. Everywhere, you see schools are springing up like mushrooms after the rain. All kinds of schools, good, bad and ugly, but there are schools everywhere. Everyone wants to be in education. Everyone wants to start a school. Whether they know anything about schools or not, they want to start a school. You ask the people who are running schools and who own schools, how many books did you read in the last 1 year? They would not have read 2 pages. Ask them how many books did you write? They would not even know what is the meaning of writing a book. They would never have written a book in their whole life. And they are owning schools and running schools because that's what everyone is doing. The question is, if you monitor the effect of schools, what should be the effect of schools? The effect of schools should be a society which is moral and socially responsible, a society that is conscious of its duties. I don't think I need to explain that or need to ask any rhetorical questions about what do you think is happening to society. So, despite all of these schools, and of course I also include the madrasas in it, there is no effect on society. And when you talk to people who run schools, a lot of them seem to be focused on technology. He said, we should teach technology, we should teach maths, and we should teach science, and we should teach technology. So, as long as you teach people some kind of programming or doing something with their hands and so on and so forth, the problems of the world will be solved, right? The example I always give is the gas ovens of Hitler were not produced by people who did not know technology. The means of genocide of 6 million people were created very cold-bloodedly by people who were the finest technologists of the time. Yet, their output was what? So, technology does not solve problems. As far as a Muslim, I remind myself and you that the finest and the most powerful example I can give you is that no Nabi came to teach technology. And this is not because the Anbiya were Jahileen or something. They were not. If Allah wanted to give people artificial intelligence in the time of Adam alayhi salam, He would have given it. But Allah gave people natural intelligence, not artificial intelligence. All Anbiya came for one purpose only, and that was to teach values, to teach ethics, to teach morals. They did not come to teach technology. Now, I am not against technology. I am probably the most wired up person you know. I use technology all the time. But I use my shoes on my feet. I don't take my shoes and put them on my head. Right? So, the issue is not whether you should use technology or not. It's not an either or situation. The issue is what do you need and use technology for, and what do you need over and above this technology? Where should it be? Yeah? I always give this example of the shoe and the topi because this is what my sheikh used to give. And in those days, he used to say, Juta 200 rupay ka hota hai. Topi 1 rupay ki hoti hai. Today, he said, the shoe is 200 rupees. Today, the shoe is 20,000 rupees, not 200 rupees. But yet, if anyone puts this 20,000 rupee shoe on his head, you would say he's a madman, he's crazy. Yeah? You don't put it. But at the same time, you don't say, I don't need shoes. Of course, you need shoes. If you don't use shoes, then you know your feet will get injured or dirty. We need shoes, but we need shoes in the right place, which is on your feet, not on your head. Now, this is what we are doing today. We are taking technology and putting it on its head. I'll give you another example. One of the apps I use in my phone is called TextPan Pro. And TextPan Pro takes little, three-letter or four-letter symbols that you write for yourself, and it converts them into a longer, expanded form, either in English or in some other language and so on. So, I and several of my friends use this TextPan Pro to write Arabic. It's easier to write rather than get an Arabic alphabet and, you know, we have it that also. What would we individually write? Instead of that, if you just an ASA, it's a Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh, it puts the whole thing. And everybody is very impressed. Oh, mashallah, you're writing all this Arabic. They don't know that I'm writing only ASA. Now, so one of my friends, what TextPan Pro also does is, it not only helps you do that, it also tracks the phrases or words that you use most often. So, every once in a while, it gives you a report to say, this is the word you use most. So, this friend of mine, he did this, survey on his own, in all of us. And one of us, he said, you know, what is the most frequent phrase that this person uses? So, I said, what is it? He said, Jazakallahu khairan. Most frequent used phrase is Jazakallahu khairan. Now, my point is, TextPan Pro did not make that person say Jazakallahu khairan. TextPan Pro only counted the number of times it is said. So, all that technology did was it counted the number of times. Even if that person had died without knowing how many times he said Jazakallah, it didn't matter. What mattered was that the person said Jazakallah. So, when he's saying Jazakallahu khairan, he's making dhikr, he's doing shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's giving dua to somebody else, and he's getting some good, feeling as a result of that. All of this comes because there is something else which is making that person say Jazakallahu khairan. Now, what is that something else? That something else is what the Anbiya alayhi salam came to teach. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I came to complete and beautify the akhlaq of people. He didn't say, I came to teach technology. Again, I'm saying again and again, I'm not against technology. I'm just saying, use the shoe on your foot, not on your head. So, the key thing is, what are we teaching our children? Ethics and values cannot be legislated. Values must be inculcated. From the earliest ages, typically what I see in a lot of Muslim homes, I mean, this is a tragedy because at least when we were growing up, I'm not trying to portray my generation as the best generation. It is not the best generation, it was the generation of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But there were certain things which were a fact. When we were growing up as little children, other people, meaning non-Muslims, used to say, Musalmano ke bachche sabse achhi tehzeeb ke rehte bolte the. Muslim children are the best mannered. They used to say this. Now, today they don't say it anymore. Because what do I see? Let me describe for you. Some of the things I see in good Muslim homes, parents are good, mashallah, practicing Muslims and so on. First, small children. First thing you see is, no child will say salam. small children, not one single child will say salam alaikum, or he will do adab or something. I mean, some greeting to a person who has come to the house, it is not done. In some homes, at least the mother's or somebody, father's conscience will prick and he will say, no, salam karo, you know, do say salam. Still that child will not do salam. And how many times will this person say, oh, that person also stops saying, the child never does salam. Nobody is bothered. Right? I am talking about very simple things, not. Second thing is, I see this in our masjid also many times. That's why we bought all these chairs. You will have young people sitting on chairs, elderly people come. I have to say, I have said this from the mimbar many times. I have to say, get up and give your chair to that person. Only then will the person, it's not that he is deaf and dumb and blind, he can see. But he will not get up and give his chair to an elderly person who has come. Somebody has to tell him that. Right? Similarly, saying please, saying thank you, zero, absolutely zero. You just grab whatever you want, take whatever you want, and walk off. Ask someone, please do this for, do this, please tell me, bolte, do this for me. Person does it, you go away, khatam, halas, your job is over. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the person has not thanked Allah until he has thanked the individual. And Allah said, the one who doesn't thank him, he said, beware of my adab. Another very common thing, especially with younger children. Two adults are talking, the parents are talking to somebody, this child will come. Ammi, Baba, Baba, Baba. He's got some need, whatever it is. He has no problem with interrupting the conversation, with making a nuisance of himself. And none of the parents will say, excuse me, please, we are talking. Wait. Once the conversation is finished or once the topic is finished, then we'll ask you. Until then, keep quiet. They will not say this. They will immediately attend to the child. So you are reinforcing this bad habit of interrupting people when they are speaking. I'm only speaking about, you know, some of the glaring things that I see all the time. I'm saying, please focus on these things. Because what are you raising? You are raising children who have no respect for others, who have no consideration for others, who have no kindness, who have no compassion. They don't care two hoots about what is convenient for you or what bothers you or doesn't bother you. All that they are interested in is themselves. So you are raising these completely self-centered, selfish monsters. Believe me, one day that monster will haunt you. Because you will be in a situation where you will need attention, and that person, you never taught him to give you attention. You never taught him to give attention to anyone except himself. And you are not going to get that attention. Don't fool yourself. Don't think that somehow this child is going to turn into this great compassionate human being. He's not. Compassion is not a natural thing. Compassion has to be taught. By nature, a human being is not compassionate. That is why Allah sent Anbiya alayhi wasalam to teach compassion. Small things. One story in the seerah. One of the, some Nabi sallallahu was going towards Makkah. One sahabi brought a nest of a bird which had eggs in it to show Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah said, where did you find this? He said, Ya Rasulullah, in that. He said, go put it back. Go put it back immediately. That bird must be distraught, the fact that the nest has disappeared. Why is he bothered about one bird? That is the meaning of compassion. Compassion is to be kind to somebody who cannot help you or who has no authority over you. Good manners is to treat people who can do nothing for you with respect. People who can do something for you, people who have power, you will treat them with respect, otherwise you will get a boot in your backside. I mean, as simple as that. So that doesn't show manners. That shows probably self-preservation or good sense. But manners is to treat those who cannot hit you back, who have no power over you. To treat them with respect because you respect human beings. And Allah said what? Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Allah said the most honorable among you with Allah is the one who has the most taqwa. Allah did not say the one who has most money or most authority. Most taqwa. And this most taqwa can be with anybody at all. With a rich person, with a poor person, with anyone. No one has a copyright on taqwa. So I remind myself in you, teach your children manners. Teach them kindness. Teach them compassion. Teach them to say salam. Teach them to say please. Teach them to say thank you. Teach them not to make a nuisance of themselves for everybody. Teach them to behave properly in public places, in masajid, in wherever you take them, in restaurants. It's a nuisance. Children screaming and raving and ranting and making a nuisance of themselves when you are sitting in the restaurant. You go there to have a meal in peace and you've got a whole bunch of kids. I mean, you feel like picking one up and throwing him out of the window. I mean, really, this is the reflection of the kind of parents and the kind of homes that we have. Please, let us change this. Let us focus on the tarbiyah of our children before anything else. In addition to that, by all means, teach them technology, teach them math, teach them science, teach them what you want. But if you do not teach them akhlaq, then you are going to get a whole lot of ill-mannered, evil-minded, self-centered scientists and technologists. Believe me, we don't need that. That is the worst garbage in the world, which you will create in your homes. So don't do that. Focus on akhlaq. That is what the Nabi came for. That is what Allah sent us to do. And that's where it starts, in our own homes. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar